Hello, I'm Priya Bates, president of Inner Strength Communication based in Toronto, Canada.
And I'm Advita Patel, director of Comms Rebel based in Manchester, UK.
And we're co-founders of A Leader Like Me.
We've also recently published a book with Kogan Page called Building a Culture of Inclusivity, Effective Internal Communication for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
In season three of our podcast, we will introduce you to diverse voices where we talk about the role of communication personally and professionally in building inclusive cultures.
We hope you enjoy our podcast.
In our final episode for this season, we were delighted to welcome Shruti Sojani from the Football Association, where she's their EDI lead, Equity, Diversity and Inclusion. Shruti is a super passionate about making sports for all. She was inspired by Bend It Like Beckham, and that's when she decided to dedicate her dissertation in understanding the lack of South Asians in sports and higher education sport degrees. Her passion for more equal playing ground in sports has seen her appear on BBC, Sky, and become a trustee with Miss Kicks Foundation. Shruti was also recognised as a sports industry next gen leader in 2021. She has grown and developed her leadership skills in diverse commercial roles and has been recognised for bringing culture change across sport and the automotive industry. Our conversation with Shruti was inspirational, and we really hope you enjoy our final episode. So today we are delighted to welcome Shruti Sojani to our podcast, and Shruti is going to be our final guest for this episode, and we're very excited to talk with her. I first came across Shruti when I did some work for the England Cricket Board, probably in 2021, towards the end of 2022, and she was spoken about highly from various different colleagues I spoke with on there. And I've been following Shruti's journey closely since then. And I know that Shruti has now left the England Cricket Board, is now working in football. And the reason we wanted to talk with Shruti, was to understand a bit more about sports and inclusion and what it's like to be one of very few women of colour working in the sporting industry, helping them build culture of inclusion. So welcome, Shruti. How are you doing?
Really well, and thank you for that wonderful introduction and following me and supporting me. But really excited to be here, so thank you for inviting me, and no pressure as your final guest, so we're here for it.
Thank you so much.
And also for our North American audience, when they're referring to football, we're talking about soccer here, not American football, just so that you're aware of the distinction. Not that we're going to be talking sports analogy today, but it may help you understand in case we get into any of that territory.
Yes, very valid point there, Priya. Thank you. So Shruti, do you want to share a little bit about who you are and how did you get involved working in sport and in the world of inclusion?
Yeah, so I'm a proud South Asian woman who absolutely loves sports. Growing up, sports was probably the way I connected with family. Cricket was big in my family. I remember skipping school. I definitely don't encourage that right now. skipping school to attend cricket games. And football is just a way to, I guess, be who I wanted to be. Because when you stand on a pitch, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. You just play the game, whatever game that is or whatever sport that is. And I remember watching Bend It Like Beckham when it was released. And I always said that one day I want to change sports for women like me and women like Pamela Nagra in that movie. So I studied sports and people were like, Shruti, what are you doing? Like studying sports, is that even like a viable career option? Like, are you going to progress? So I remember saying, nope, I want to do this. I'm going to do this, inspired by Bend It Like Beckham. I created a vision board and I said one day I'll do this and I'll change sport for women like me. And I guess 11 years on since that vision board, I'm here. Started in sports in 2019 when it was the Cricket World Cup here in England and Wales. And I started a project to inspire more South Asian women into cricket and volunteering roles. So it's been an absolute dream. Like, it's true, dreams do come true. So that's Yeah, that's it.
What an amazing story. That bended like Beckham, I think, for South Asian women specifically, was a game changer. I remember when that film came out, and first of all, seeing a South Asian woman in a leading role, and also in a sport that isn't recognised for women to be in. I mean, South Asian women in sport is not highly encouraged, right, Shruti? So I can imagine when you were studying sport at, you know, at university or college, the kind of commentary you may have received from some of the stereotypes that we are often, you know, seen as a South Asian women. Because you're right, you know, until that film, it never even, and I don't think I saw anyone or looking like me in any type of sport, to be honest with you, unless they were representing their country, India, you know, at the Olympics or something. So the fact that you have changed the pathway, I would say, for women who may think they don't belong in that space, to demonstrate that actually we do. And Priya and I are both big fans, by the way, of vision boarding. We do love a vision board. So we hopefully some of our audience who are listening can see the power of a vision board as well.
Absolutely. And that, to your point, that movie literally probably changed my life. They say, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And I really wanted to do that. I really wanted to show that women of color, there's a place for them in sports. And we all know the power sports has. And I definitely believe in manifestation. Like, I wanted to go out to the Cricket World Cup. That's what I, for the final, and hoping India picked up that cup, but they didn't. But it was all about, it's what I wanted to do, and following dreams, I guess.
You know, you talked about vision boarding and really changing the world through sport, right? And I want you to talk a little bit about that, because this is more than the sport. This is about changing the world. And what do you think is that connection of making people think differently, but using sport as a foundation to make that happen?
Right, you just touched on one of the sayings that I have. I always talk about changing the world a little bit, because it's all about those little changes, I guess, that change the world. And I just don't think people often see the power sport has to break down barriers, bring communities together, and really allow people to belong. And for me, it was like, how do we demonstrate that? How do we change perceptions? How do we change the narrative of a woman shouldn't do this, or a woman of color should be doing something different? And I wanted to challenge the norm, and I wanted to do things differently. And whilst I was working in cricket, one of the biggest changes that I wanted to make was the different ways that we use terminology and words, and how we marketed, I guess, our campaign at the time. I remember the word we used, like the campaign, that project that I led and was part of, was called Dream Big Desi Women. And I know how much culture, and I know how much proud we are in culture and our traditions. And I wanted that word Desi to come through, because for us, sport, or even cricket, especially for South Asian community, it's a lifestyle. And it was all about, like, how do we get people to think differently? It's going to be uncomfortable, because there's so much traditions, there's so much narrative that comes before me, history, etc. But it was about being brave and being bold and thinking differently, and not taking no for an answer.
Love that. Not taking no for an answer. We're very much aligned with that thinking as well, Shruti. I mean, there's a reason why I call my business Comms Rebel, because you do need to be rebellious a little bit in this space where we're often other marginalized people, right? So it's not only in terms of the dominant culture we're often working with, but also within our own communities. It's a very unusual role to be part of the sporting world, not only as a woman, but also as a woman of color. And the same in PR and comms, by the way. So Priya and I are very few women of color were in communications and PR when we first started. It's growing, definitely getting much better than what it was. But we are the marginalized group. And even in my family, when I shared with my family at the time that I was going to be working in communications and PR, I was met with a little bit of, oh, what? So you're going to tell people how to talk to each other? And I remember when I used to work on employee engagement, right? So how do we engage our colleagues? And my cousin turned around to me and actually thought I planned weddings. Like, he thought that was my job. So the education I had to do within my own family to help them understand the passion and the purpose of what I wanted to do was probably just as hard as working in an industry that didn't have people like me doing the work that I did. So I can imagine some of the discussions and the conversations you had, especially since joining the England and Wales Cricket Board in 2019. What are the kind of challenges you perceive or have seen that does stop women getting into sport? I mean, part of it, obviously, we've spoken about and touched upon that if you don't see people like you, then it's a bit difficult. Mm-hmm. But is there anything else that you have witnessed over your time in this space that are clear blockers that we need to all work towards and support to get more women involved?
Yeah, I definitely think there are a number of challenges, and I think we've probably lightly touched on some, which is around just awareness and opportunities that sport has. When I tell people I work in sports, I'm very vague about telling people where I work or what I do, and it's mainly for my own humor sometimes, because I want to see their reaction when I say, oh, I work in sports. So they're like, oh, you working in sports? And I think it's just they're not aware that you could actually get paid and work in sports or have a successful career working on sports, because perception is that if you want to work in sports, you're playing on a field or you're playing on a pitch, or it's more that player professional side. So I think there's an opportunity around awareness of opportunities sports hold. So where you promote your vacancies, where you promote your courses, how you interact with new audiences to attract them to your business. I think there's a big, big bit around your brand and how you're perceived in communities and outside of your, I guess, your organization bubble, because that plays a big part. Like when I first applied for the England and Wales Cricket Board, and I was talking to a few people and they're like, no, you're not going to get through the doors. Like, ECB would never talk to someone like you. And the perception was because I was a woman of colour. And it's just around, like, how do you challenge those stereotypes and brand perceptions? So, like, actually going into the community. And I think the other bit is just around supporting and creating a network, or having mentors. I think it can be lonely in this space, and when you don't see people like you as often, you've got to have a network of people that pick you up when things get tough or support you and help you navigate. And for my time that I've been in sports, five years now, I think I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for the network that I've had and the people to support me. So I think network, raising awareness of the opportunities, and then supporting people once they come through the door as well.
That's amazing. I've got a 19-year-old who is obsessed with Formula One right now. And, you know, that is a very male-dominated sport. She's not the one who imagines being the engineer. She really wants to be behind the scenes in marketing or event planning and all of these things. And it's been really interesting as she started university this year, joining the F1 team. And it's all, you know, males. She just went to Vancouver to speak with them. And it was her and the guys, right? And it's been really interesting to see that, you know, first of all, her interest, but also like her drive now, and we'll see what happens. But just the fact that she thinks she believes it's possible, and she's carving that path, is because she's seen women, and, you know, maybe not as many women of color yet, maybe men of color that are starting to step in the sport, but you need to see that to believe it. And I think it's really exciting. So I want you to talk about, you talked about opening the doors for you in the sport. But what does opening the doors to different communities, genders, customers, you know, colleagues, what does that mean for the sport itself?
It means so much. Like, if for those who look at it from the bottom line financially, we know diversity is a strength. Your profit lines, your basis, the brands you're going to attract, the people you're going to get as fans or customers, that all affects that bottom line. There's profitability at the forefront. But I think what it does is ultimately it's the right thing to do. It's creating that sense of belonging for people in the world. And when things are hard, and we saw it in COVID, like when things were really tough and we were all confined in our own homes, sport was the one thing that came back. And I remember cricket coming back, and people who hadn't followed cricket were in tune with cricket because it allowed people to connect. And I think there's the side of mental health and supporting people overcome some of life's biggest challenges. Sport allows you to be you, allows you to express yourself in a way that I strongly believe no other, I guess, field would allow you to do. So when you're on that pitch or you go to the gym or physical well-being, it plays a huge part. And I think what it is, and I think one of my biggest, when I talk about change the world a little bit, I see it as the doors were open for me back in 2019. How do I create that legacy for other women of color? Because it's not about me. Everything I now do is about how do I help other women work up and break that glass ceiling and lay the foundation for whoever's coming to next. So I know whenever I struggle and I don't see another woman of color, or I'm the only female in that room, I'll always remind myself that I'm around the table. I need to use my voice to help someone who doesn't have a voice. So when I am having a bad day, or if I'm not able to pluck up the courage to speak up because I'm the only female or the only woman of color, I remind myself I need to do it for the younger Shruti or the next woman of color that's coming through that door. And yeah, that's, I guess, when opening doors, you become more inclusive, you become reflective of society, and you just become, I guess, a better organization, a better brand.
Love that. You know, we had before Priya and I created the kind of global consultancy arm of A Leader Like Me, we actually had a membership for underrepresented women of color, where we worked with them and coached and mentored them to build confidence, to build leadership styles, how to manage conversations in the workplace where they felt isolated. And there was an incredible woman on, and we interviewed Olivia Bussey, who was part of our network and membership. And she said, we had her on our podcast, and I'll always remember this quote. She said, when she walks into a room, she imagines all her ancestors, all the women who sacrificed a lot to get Olivia to where she is today. So she goes, I'm not only walking in on my own, I'm walking in representing the 10,000 other women behind me who sacrificed who they were for me to be able to walk in as a Black woman in this room. Because I commented on how she commanded attention. Because when you meet Olivia, she walks in with presence, you know, her head's held high, her shoulders are back, and she owns the room. And I have a feeling that you're exactly the same there, Shruti. And she says that when she feels that moment of uncertainty or fear, or do I belong here? She reminds herself of her grandmother, her mother, her great ancestors who make the changes, those micro shifts that you spoke about, those small shifts over time that allowed Olivia to live the life that she's living today. And I know we often talk about how far behind we are, you know, in inclusion and equity and diversity, and how we should be moving quicker. But I do also think that we don't talk about the progress made, right? When my mum came into the UK in the late 60s, early 70s, there were still signs outside of shops saying that she didn't belong in that shop because she was a person of color. I know he said no Blacks, no Irish, no docs. And she clearly remembers that. And I know we haven't moved as quickly as possible, but we have made some movement, right? I would say in the work that we're doing. And when Olivia was talking about the sacrifice of her ancestors, it reminded me about why we do what we do, and the hope that our generations behind us, to your point, can see the doors that we've left open. And I have spoken to a few individuals, especially when we were setting up A Leader Like Me, about this nervousness of sharing too much. Because Priya and I often talk about, we were one of the first to be speaking at events who were different from the majority. And we were quite chuffed about that, I'm not going to lie. We're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Look how unique we are and how different we are. And both of us realized, actually, our job isn't just to take that platform for ourselves. Our job is to bring the women and other underrepresented folks who may feel excluded along with us, and keep that door wide open, right? And so I completely resonate with what you said. And I hope those who are listening who feel that they may not have the influence to make the changes at a grander scale, recognize that those micro changes will lead to macro impact, I would hope. On that a little bit, on that. So in the UK, and it's probably across the globe, really. Well, it is across the globe, but in the UK specifically, we've had a lot of media attention on racism in sport. You mentioned Azeem Rafiq, which was a big case in cricket in 2019, I think it was, just before you joined the England and Wales Cricket Board, I'm assuming, Shruthia. Were you there when all that?
Yeah, I was there. It was just after.
Yeah.
A couple of years after,
yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, those of you who are not aware of the case, please look it up. I won't take up the podcast with that story, but there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unsettlement. There was lots of debate, lots of discussions and arguments around that topic and what had happened, and people mistaking the conversation for banter. You know, it's just a bit of fun, it's just a bit of banter, it's what's expected in sport. And the same was around football, right? So we've seen the racism in football, which is why they had that kick it out campaign to try and address it. As somebody who is trying to build this culture of inclusion and opening those doors for individuals, I can imagine it being quite tough to be one of the very few who are in this space trying to make change happen. How do you manage that conversation? How do you kind of... Yeah, do you get people coming over to you going, I can't believe that you're supporting this, or you're part of this? What how can you do this? How do you kind of manage that for your own mental health and well-being perspective?
Ever since I've worked in sports, I've had so many random messages from people I don't even know and asking me, why do I work for organizations or do what I do when nothing's going to change? And I think the way I see it is, I'm on this side, I'm in a position where I can make change, and I need to use the position, the opportunity, the influence, the power of influence I can have to make that change. I don't want to sit on the other side of the fence and watch it from afar. Like, I'm in the thick of it, I've got the opportunity to make change, and that's what keeps me going. And I touched on it a bit earlier, was I've been able to bring together a really good support network. I've got some great mentors, I've got some great friends, and they, whenever I need that reassurance or that just the ear, I've got the right people around me. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the past 5 years is it's okay to say you're not okay, and it's okay to ask for help or be vulnerable, because we all know, I guess, even just the ups and downs, and being a South Asian woman myself and seeing that the organization I was working with was called Racist was very hard. But I think surrounding myself with the right people, speaking up, expressing my views and not being afraid was probably what keeps me going. And ultimately, I've always said to myself, my values are working for organizations who have the right intent, who are honest, who want to make change. And the moment I feel that's not the case, or wherever I am, will help me reconsider. So I always keep myself grounded to my values and make sure that I'm continuing to work towards what's true to me.
Brilliant. I think that's really important. You just said that statement about it's okay to speak up and say you're not okay. It's okay not to be okay. And the work that we do in the world of inclusion, equity and diversity can be tough. And it's mentally draining, and it can be quite triggering, especially when you're marginalized yourself, when you're trying to help other people understand the challenges that you're facing and others are facing. And especially leaders, right, in a position of power and influence and decision making, who may belong to the dominant culture, who don't recognize how they can be allies in this space. So I think that's such a good takeaway about, you know, don't be afraid to speak up and speak out if you are struggling. There's lots of people, to your point, hopefully there to help and support you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just being true to yourself. Like, if there's anything you take, be true to yourself. Don't bottle things up. Be open, which is definitely key.
One of the things I noticed is that in 2021, you're recognized as a sports industry next generation leader. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that meant to you?
Yeah, so it was a really, really interesting experience. Obviously, it was throughout COVID. It was where sport industry recognized 30 individuals under 30 for the work they're doing in sports, but also a year-long program to support, mentor the next future leaders across sport who are going to make change. And to get onto that was amazing. Like to be like I remember waiting because they said the announcement was going to be in November sometime, and I remember not having heard, and I was like, yeah, no, I've not got it. And then I just see my LinkedIn and my Instagram pop up, and I'm like, oh my god, like it was amazing. And I remember it was around Diwali time, so it was just like celebration galore. So I was definitely ate an extra laddu or benda, as they call it, that time. But it was just so amazing to be in a room, virtual room at the time, with people who wanted to make sport equitable, who were all passionate, who were energized to use the power of sport in various different ways. It was amazing. And it's just been a really good network that I've continued to network with, connect with, and learn from as well. So a definitely memorable year and really special to be recognized as well.
Now we all, sorry.
I was just going to say, congratulations. I think it's an absolute, you know, be the work that you've done in the short time span you've been in sport is remarkable. And it's something that you should be 100% celebrating, and having those extra ludus and penda to do that. You know, that's so important. And the reason I want you to kind of interject though is because we don't celebrate our achievements enough. You know, we've been taught and conditioned to be humble. And you know, not show off too much, and don't be cocky. But the fact that you entered the world of sport in 2019 and you were seen as one of the change makers in 2021, that is an amazing achievement. And under the age of 30, absolutely incredible. And I just wanted to interject to celebrate and recognize that.
Thank you.
And that's not the only thing. We saw that you've been involved in launching the 2B Sport Changemakers program. Now, what is, again, you know, this is new for me being on this side of the pond. What is that program and what is it meant to be?
Yeah, so that it's happening in Glasgow. So they've got the indoor championships ahead of Paris 2024. And Corey and the team at 2B Sport, they're on a mission to help underrepresented groups in Glasgow to have the opportunities to volunteer at major games and tournaments. And having the experience that I've got outside of, I guess, my day job of being a coach and passionate about equality, diversity, inclusion, and just the various experience that I've had across my business and corporate world as well. They wanted someone to come in to help the potential future volunteers around building their personal brand, developing their CV, and just giving back as volunteers. And I had the opportunity, and it was an opportunity to give back to people that I could help with my lived experiences and the four downs of the learnings that I've had to share with these young volunteers. And it was amazing that the volunteers that were there on the day, they had different life experiences. They'd gone through opportunities where the world and society had misunderstood them, and this was their one opportunity to actually be who they are, volunteer for such a major tournament. And it's been awesome. I'm watching all their journeys at the moment. They've all gone through the first phase, and they're really excited to hopefully volunteer in the new year ahead of Paris 2024 as well.
Wow, sounds amazing. And talking about amazing things, you know, I know that you will have been involved in some very interesting and exciting initiatives, both in cricket and in football. What has been your favourite moment in the last 5-6 years that you've been involved? And it was a big question.
Oh my God, that is, you know, it is such a tough question. But I think the biggest, when I look back, is to see the amount of women of colour now working in sports because of the work that I had the opportunity to lead is amazing, because that is changing perceptions. And to see other women have that platform, progress within cricket, football, and across the world now as well, to know that I had a little hand in that is the proudest. And then equally, just seeing how proud my parents are for like following my dreams and what I've achieved is probably the biggest thing for me. Like I've always said that whatever I do, I want to do it to make my parents proud, and I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure they're proud of the stuff that I've done, and hopefully what I've gone to do as well. So yeah, they're probably the, I know you said one, but got two there.
It's never a bad thing when you've got several good things to talk about, right? And I'm sure we could talk to you for a long time. That, you know, these podcasts always go longer than we expect because we have such great conversations. But I'm going to end with this last question. What is your hope for the future of sport?
I want sport to be more reflective of the world that we live in. So that is representation from a diversity point of view, but also treating people as a whole. So like a person is not just a person of color. There's so many other characteristics and lived experiences that individual brings. So it's about accepting a person as a whole and really creating that belonging for them to be whoever they want in whichever sport they play, and hoping that we do reflect the society that we live in and serve.
Absolutely love that. And what an incredible note to end our conversation and our season on as well. Shruti, you have been a wonderful guest. Brilliant conversation. We're going to share in the show notes Shruti's LinkedIn details. Please do follow her on LinkedIn. She shares some really great insights and gets involved in some fantastic initiatives helping to improve the world of sport for people like us and people who may feel like they don't belong in that space. So thank you so much, Shruti, for your time, your energy and the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to our A Leader Like Me podcast.
Find us on socials and at aleaderlikeme.com.
And please do read our new book, Building a Culture of Inclusivity, Effective Internal Communication for Diversity, Equity and Inclusion. You can buy our book from anywhere you buy your books online.
And a discount code for our listeners is available. Just use the code ALLME20 at www.koganpage.com.
And please do reach out for us for any internal communication, change management, and DEI communication training and support your organization needs.
We have keynotes, workshops, and consulting programs available. Email us at info@aleaderlikeme.com.